Glory, glory, glory. Well, it is good to be with you on this Sunday morning, on this Thursday morning. We're going to continue today talking about righteousness at work for you. And I've handed you out some scriptures because we've got a lot of them again today. But this morning as I was going through this and meditating it, the Lord instructed me to start with 1 Peter 2:24. So let me do that. 1 Peter 2:24. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. And we saw that affirmed in previous weeks where we've been teaching on this in Isaiah 53. And he did it so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds or by his stripes, you were healed. Now, I really got focused this morning on that phrase, that live to righteousness. Let me give you some others. The Good News Bible says live for righteousness. King James says live unto righteousness. This is New American Standard we're looking at. And the New King James also says live for righteousness. So I begin meditating, and really have been for several weeks, on this part of it. What does it mean to live to righteousness? And I believe that the Young's Literal Translation says it as clearly as I have found in Scripture. It says, to the righteousness that you and I have been made, to that righteousness we may live. So what is he talking about there, living to righteousness? He's talking about that righteousness that we've been given, that we have the opportunity to live to the power that it brings to us, to the force that it can become in us. And that just kept jumping out at me, because to me it's another benefit of what we've been talking about, of knowing who we are as the righteousness of God in Christ. And I do not believe it's any coincidence that knowing this righteousness, this right standing, this right wiseness of God that we have had placed in us, I don't think it's any happenstance that it comes before those words, for by his stripes you're healed. He is right. Everything he does is right. That tells me healing is right for those of us who will believe it and receive it. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is putting this force of righteousness at work for us and how it can work in our lives. And since it's healing school, I guess the Lord wanted me to just remind us of that as we started. So I'm not going to do a review as I have previously. I just want us to jump right in, and we'll cover some older verses that we've looked at, some previous ones, and we'll go through some new ones. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:21, which is really the anchor of all of this. And what a great exchange this defines for us. He the Father made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, sin. Now I say it that way because the words to be were added by the translators. He made Jesus sin, my sin, your sin, and he did it on our behalf. He did it for you and I, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So we see here that righteousness is a gift. It's not something we can earn. It's not something we can go out and just say, I'm going to live righteously on our own merit. It's just not going to happen. And that's why Jesus came. Now, I've also said to you that in our spirit man, we're as righteous as we will ever be. There's no partial righteousness. But to the degree that we understand it, that we take it, and we live in our spirit with it as a force for us, the more we comprehend and have an understanding of what these verses mean when it talks about righteousness, I believe the more we're put in a position where that righteousness can propel us forward. And we've seen that in some scriptures that we've looked at in previous weeks. Now, if I'm candid for myself and this started for me back last fall, and it's also true for many others, I hear people say all the time, I just struggle to see myself as having been made fully righteous. And I've even had some say, I just can't believe that. But that's the work that took place in our hearts when we were born from above, born again. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 1:30. Now again, I'm going to say up front, no condemnation of anything that we're talking about today. We are all need to grow in this knowledge of righteousness so that we walk in it. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, if I were to ask those of you here today, how many of you have no doubt that you've been redeemed, you've been sanctified, and you've been set apart from evil and justified to be unto God, so you've been set apart from evil and drawn to Him? And you might even say, I know I have the wisdom of God dwelling in me. So why is it that we kind of choke on, if I can use that phrase, righteousness? Well, that's because the devil, if he can keep us from understanding that, he's got a grip on us that will preclude us from growing in so many other areas. And that's why I believe this is hard for us, is because we're being opposed in it. Now, Philippians 3, 8 and 9 says, more than that, I count all things to be loss, it's Paul talking, in the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. Let me pause there. When we truly know Him, we are also going to know His righteousness. And we'll talk about love in just a moment. So he said, the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Verse 9, and I may be found in Him, not having a righteousness derived from the law. In other words, something I can follow the rules and become righteous. But that righteousness which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Now, why am I reading this verse? Because righteousness is like many other things. We looked at 1 Peter 2:24. By His stripes you were healed. And what must we do? We must believe that. We must take that as our own, to where we know that we know that we know. Just like Paul is talking about how well he knows Jesus. So it's the righteousness that comes from God that's dwelling in us. Nothing that I've done, but I receive it. And thus I'm empowered to walk in it through faith. And it's going to take faith for you to receive it. And then once you do, it's going to become a force that as you use it, it will empower your faith in so many different areas. Now, we may experience some sin we may commit some sin, but we know that I'm redeemed and I'm sanctified. And so we don't dwell on it from that perspective. But we seem to dwell on it sometime when we talk about, well, I'm righteous. And so there's this battle that's going on in between us. I want to make this statement. Righteousness is the object, or I could say the outflow or the result of redemption. Let me say that again. Righteousness is the object of redemption. Now, why do I say that? Why was mankind created in Genesis 1? For fellowship with the Lord. And so I would ask the question then, why did He redeem us? So that He could put you and I back in a righteous relationship with Jesus so that we can have fellowship.
Amen.
Do you realize that once this fellowship was lost, if God had not had his plan to restore it through the redemptive work of the cross, that really the whole reason for the earth would being created would have been in vain? Because that earth, this earth that we dwell in, is for you and I to dwell in so that we can fellowship with him now, here on this earth. He wanted us to be sons so that we could fellowship with the Father. Now, consider this. This is a phrase I heard by a pastor that I have great respect for, and I found this in some notes I had. He said concerning righteousness, sonship would be worthless without righteousness because there would be no fellowship. Now, think about that. If I don't know that I'm righteous, how in the world can I come boldly to the throne of grace? How can I have confidence in his words if I don't really take and know this righteousness? I'm convinced, because I see it in myself, the more I see myself as righteous, the more I'm able to see myself in John 17:23. Which is the verse Jesus praying for us where he says, Father, I want them to know that you love them just like you love me. Righteousness just gives us a victory concerning that love, that we can just allow that love to increase in a way that, again, it becomes a force too. So, righteousness through faith. Not what we feel, not what we think, not what religion has told us. So it really boils down concerning righteousness to a lot of other, comparable to a lot of other things like healing. And that is, can I believe God's word on something when I don't understand it, or when I don't feel like it, or when I can't truly see myself that way? And we have to change the way we see ourselves so that we have that confidence and trust. And that trust is essential. And I loved it when you sang that song this morning, talking about placing our trust in him. That's the same thing we have to do regarding healing. It's the same thing we have to do regarding finances. Everything we get, we have to receive through faith. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, I would say the good news of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Now this word believe here is in a participle so that trans in the Greek language that implies a continuous believing. And it says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In verse 17, then goes on and says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. Saints, this is how, by believing in the good news of Jesus and what he accomplished for us, that we have been made righteous. This is how we both receive righteousness, and I'm going to say it this way, how we retain it. Because the devil is constantly working to keep us, as we begin to see those things, he just keeps reminding us of our past. And what's the best thing we can do? Just remind him of his future and what's coming. So turn it around on him. It's through faith, and that's why we're going over so many scriptures in these weeks. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word anointed. And I'm convinced that this is an anointed word for us at this time. So, when we try to work to make ourselves righteous, we're just wasting our time. We're told to awake in righteousness. 1 Corinthians 15:34. And that word awake really means to remove yourself from a stupor. And that word implies that you're not thinking clearly. And so what he's telling us is that if we begin to see righteousness as not what I'm attaining to, but as of who I am, it becomes part of my identity, then you've just won a victory over condemnation. It will have no place in you and I whatsoever. Romans 5:17. This is a verse we read the first week where we talked about the importance of righteousness. For if by the transgression of one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Christ Jesus. So if we want to reign victoriously, then it's not just about grace, but it's about, because we saw that grace through righteousness in some scriptures. So it's about learning who we are so that we have can see ourselves as have been made worthy to receive His very grace. Now, living victoriously, I equate to reigning in life. And when we see ourselves in Jesus, as I said before, John 17:23 will come alive. I mean, just think about, you're as righteous as Jesus is, and the Father loves you just like He loves Jesus. Man, when I say that, I just sense a power filling up this place. The reason we don't see ourselves as lovable, though, and this is why I started with this, because I think we must see ourselves as loved, as John 17:23 tells us. That really says to me that we see sin as having more power in our lives than His righteousness. And His righteousness, there is nothing. That is the very nature of God. He does right. He knows right. He says right. Everything He does is right. And that's where we've been thinking wrongly, because we won't see ourselves that way. So the question then is, where do we start? Well, let's look at a couple of verses. And I want to read Hebrews 5:13, and we'll start with the New American Standard. Now, this is one we've also looked at, and we're going to build from this one today. For everyone who partakes only of milk, and this is the word it uses, is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. So our focus today is on the word of righteousness, His words about righteousness and what it produces. The English Standard Version, I believe it is for this one, says, for he who lives only on milk is unskilled. Now, to me, the word unskilled says more than just I don't know it, or even I could know it. But it's I haven't started putting it into practice yet. How do we allow righteousness to have its work in us? How do we let it produce in us? And so, again, this is what we're going to be looking at today. And I just want to start by saying, in His righteousness, there is strength for you and I. In His righteousness, there's strength for you and I. Now, I want you to remember, 2 weeks ago when we were studying this, we saw that Scripture told us in Isaiah that righteousness upheld or sustained Jesus. Now, I don't believe that that was talking about the righteousness physically held Him up. But I believe it sustained Him by becoming a strength in His inner man so that He could then look the devil in the eye and say, it is written, it is written, it is written. And it will do the same for you and I today. So it's when we talk about being strengthened, I'm talking about a spiritual strengthening then. And it will then manifest from my spirit, because everything that I receive from God has to come through my spirit and is manifested in this physical realm. So let's look at some verses about this strength. I want to start first with Psalm 71:16. In my Bible, it says, the little epitaph or note at the top says, this psalm was written by an old man. And I could see someone who was maybe not as physically as strong as some of the other people were writing this. But look at what he says. I will come in the strength and with the mighty acts of the Lord God. Now, you've got to read this from your New Testament knowledge now. He's not saying he's tried to earn it. For us, we're just saying, I'm going to come in the strength and with the mighty acts of the Lord God, and I will mention and praise your righteousness, even yours alone. Now, what has he just said in this? That when we need to receive from the Lord, when we want to act on something, that it's not about anything to do with me except my faith in the Word of God. He's taking all the responsibility. It's your righteousness, Lord, that strengthens me and that produces mighty acts. And I heard a quick testimony this morning of someone in here who has prayed for another person about some brain cancer, and that man is totally healed today. And that's why we come here, to receive healing and to be prepared to go out. So yours alone, Lord, that's all I look at. Job 17, verse 9. Yet the righteous will hold his way. Now, what that says to me is that if it says I'm going to hold my way, then I'm going to, because I know I'm righteous and that force is in me, I'm going to act righteously. And that's exactly what 1 John 3:10 says. Instructs us, and I think Pastor Trey even mentioned that Sunday morning. Righteousness, according to that verse, is not an option. It's something we're commanded. Walking righteously is something we're commanded to do. So, yet the righteous will hold his way, and he who has clean hands, implying what? Living righteously, will be stronger and stronger. Again, not talking about a physical strength, but walking righteously, because we know we've been made that way, will produce a spiritual strength in us. Isaiah 45, verse 24. That's the New King James, isn't it, Miss Mary? He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. Now, I look a lot at, when lists are developed, I look a lot at the sequence of those lists. And I think that's important. Righteousness and strength comes with it. To him men shall come. And then it's talking about others who will be ashamed. And we don't want to focus on that right now. The New Living Translation I want to read to you. The people will declare, that's you and I, the Lord is the source of all my righteousness and my strength. That's a declaration that we can be making. It's just another testimony of how righteousness produces a strength in us. Psalm 37:39. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. So he's beginning to tee up here what is provided to those who have received salvation and been made righteous. He, the righteous one, and his righteousness is their strength in time of trouble. Now, when I read this one, I can begin to see Jesus being sustained, being upheld through all that was thrown against him. Nothing like we've had. I mean, so far above what we've endured, and yet righteousness secured him. Let me read you one more. Isaiah 54, verse 14, and this will be from the Amplified. Isaiah 54, 14. Amplified Classic. It says, "You shall establish yourself in righteousness, rightness in conformity with God's will and order. You shall be far from even the thought of oppression or destruction, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you." Strengthened so that we don't even take thought about it. We just repel it, and righteousness is a force of that. We see that kind of corroborated in Isaiah 41:10, a verse we all love. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am the Lord your God. But Lord, I'm not strong enough." But look what he says. "I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now, if we say, well, he's talking about Jesus there, I would say, yes and amen. And guess what righteousness you've been made? So Jesus is able to uphold us by giving us the same righteousness that he put on when he was here on this earth. Glory to God. And that takes us to the armor. Now we saw last week, or 2 weeks ago, last time I talked, in Isaiah 59:17, that it said Jesus put on righteousness as a breastplate. Now it listed a couple of others, including a helmet of salvation. But what does Ephesians 6, verses 13 and 14 say to us? "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." So he's telling us we need to take it all, "that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Then the very next verse, and look at the first two elements that he talks about. "Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth." In other words, that some translations say, girdled your waist or put on a belt with truth. And I just want to say to you, that belt of truth, on that belt of truth, all the other elements of the armor except the helmet really stand. They hang on it. They're attached to it, including then having girded your waist with truth, having put on. So this is something that we already should have put on, the breastplate of righteousness. So here we see that breastplate being, we're being told that we should have put it on just like Jesus did last week. Now, I'm not going to go through all the rest of the elements of the armor this morning because we're focusing on righteousness. But I just want to remind you, and I'll do this by talking about verse 10 in this same chapter. And at the very end of it, look what it says, the last phrases. "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Now I've said to you, righteousness can be a force. So let's just gain some insight of how strong this force is. The phrase here, "be strong in the Lord," I could say, be in, living with, the dunamis power, the ability of God, because those are the words that's really used there, the dunamis power. And then it says, "and in the power." That power is godly power. It's the supreme power and authority of a God, of our God. And then finally, the power of his might, that phrase is a word which literally means a strength, a force which can be demonstrated or seen. That's the power that is in righteousness and in the rest of it. So let's talk real quickly about the breastplate. The breastplate covered the front and the back. And we generally think of it as protecting the front and the back. Rick Renner, who has a book out on the armor of God, it's a great book. It's worth reading multiple times. He says that the breastplate, because of the way it was made, was the most beautiful piece of armor that the Roman soldier wore. And again, when Paul wrote this, he's probably observing that guard that's standing there watching over him. It was made such that it had small pieces of bronze or brass, and they were woven together where they overlapped with each other. And the more the soldier moved, what was those pieces of brass doing? Rubbing on each other. So might I say it this way? The more the soldier walked in and used his breastplate, the more beautiful it actually became. Can I say that's true with us in our lives today? The more we walk in righteousness, the more of the beauty of God people are going to see in you and I. And it's also how God sees you. And we'll get to that point in just a moment. But I want to just throw this out to you. And I want to do it because in Isaiah 58, verse 8 that we read last week, we saw how Scripture talked about, before it talked about your healing speeding forth or coming forth speedily, we saw that righteousness will prepare the way or will lead the way. And then it said, and the glory of God will be your rear guard. And that's kind of how I look at this breastplate. The righteousness is a force that can lead the way. It's almost like it's an offensive force that just mows down whatever's in front so that we can walk through it. And we don't have to be worried about our backside because the glory of God's there. That's this breastplate. Now, again, the more you use it, the more brilliant it becomes. The Roman armies were so confident in it that they would sometimes, and every time, sometimes because they couldn't in every case, but if they could, they would attack an enemy facing the east. Now, why is that important? As the sun comes up on the morning, can you imagine a hillside with thousands of Roman soldiers with that breastplate shining gloriously, preparing the way for them? And they said oftentimes the soldiers who were looking at it would just almost be blinded by it and would retreat. So I just want you to see righteousness will protect you, but Scripture tells us it will guide us in that path, Psalm 23, in the paths of righteousness. And it will prepare the way. So you can almost see it somewhat as an offensive weapon. Your righteousness is beautiful. Now, why am I saying that? Because we're going to talk next about righteousness and holiness. Now, the first week we talked, I made the statement that righteousness does not equate to holiness. But holiness, when you live righteously, is produced in your life. Amen. Same's true with the Father. So let's look at a few verses about this. Romans 6, we're going to read 5 or 6 verses here. We're going to start in verse 13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. So I take that to mean my body and its members, my hands, arms, feet, eyes, the parts of it. I do not want to use them in an unrighteous manner that leads to sin. But it says, but present yourselves to God as being made alive from the dead. Now, how did that happen? Because Jesus laid down his life with our sin so that we could be made what? Righteous. But he says, present yourselves as instruments of righteousness to God. So as instruments of righteousness, that's producing something right for the Lord. Skip down to verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves which you obey. And then he's going to explain what he's talking about. Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience to his word, I would add, leading to what? Righteousness. Verse 17. But God be thanked that through you, that though you were slaves of sins, you obeyed from the heart. In other words, you believed the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. That's what delivered you. 18. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves to righteousness. That's telling us that we ought to be serving righteousness and letting righteousness from us work through us. Now, I want you to read verse 19. This is the key one, I think. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. That's what we've been talking about, causes us all this problem. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, which did what? Led to more lawlessness. So now present your members, your body, as a slave of righteousness for holiness. So we see how letting righteousness have its work in us, we know it, and then we act on it, produces what? Holiness. So present yourselves to the work of righteousness. You know, that almost sounds like, and I'll go ahead and use this word because we're going to see it, that I have to submit to righteousness. And yes, we do. We have to submit our will and our thoughts that says you're not righteous. We have to submit it to what the will of the Lord and what His Word says, that you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. So righteousness, a force that will allow us to live holy, to live in a manner that is beautiful to God. Now, I'm not saying we won't ever miss it, but we're not going to have a sin consciousness. We're to awake to righteousness so we can develop what? A righteousness consciousness. We don't ignore sin. We know we're forgiven and we need to walk in it. Now, the New Living Translation for verse 19 reads this way. You must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. And he's talking about it in our flesh. If we want to live a holy life, and don't raise your hands, but I think back at how many times I just made the decision, I'm just going to live a holy life. And then I think about how long that lasted. It's not something we can do without letting righteousness work in and through us. And again, it doesn't sound like a suggestion. Romans 10, verses 1 through 4. New King James. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Now, we know that when we hear talk about Israel, they're talking about the results of what he wants for us as well. Verse 2, for I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Now, let me stop here. I have taught this in the past, and I still believe it's true, that there are people who have a great zeal for God, but they have no word in them. They haven't learned who God is, how He operates, what He does. And sometimes that creates a problem because of that great zeal. It leads in error. But you know, this same principle applies to us concerning having a knowledge of righteousness. We can have a lot of zeal for God. And I know a lot of Christians who do and who would fight me for their right to say, I'm still a sinner saved by grace. instead of me saying, no, you were a sinner, but you've been saved by grace, therefore you have been made what? Righteous. So a lot of times what I hear people saying is, I'm fighting for my right to say I'm still not righteous. And it's because we don't have the knowledge of righteousness, which we're now gaining. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not, and there's that word that we don't like, submitted to the righteousness of God. Saint, religious has taught us for too long that we are not righteous creatures. And of our flesh, that's true. But you know, your flesh is not who you are. You are a spirit. You possess a soul. And you live in this earth suit, this flesh. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law, meaning the end of anyone who needs to work to attain the law. It's Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And so we circled all the way back now to everyone who does what? To everyone who believes. A revelation of righteousness, seeing how it can become a force for us. Righteousness isn't a suggestion. It's something we must submit to and walk out in that fear and trembling. Now, this next section, and we'll be closing with this. Can I just say that we, you and I, who are believers, who the Bible calls as sons, and you know I don't say that lightly. It's all of us. There's not male or female, Jew nor Greek in him. We're all sons. We all have that right as mature sons to take what the Father had for the one who was adopted. But we're also the bride of Christ. And so I want to tell you, he's given us righteousness to make you beautiful so that you can walk holy, because he's preparing you and I to be the bride of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Thus, I can say you are beautiful in his eyes. Now, what is it that makes the Father beautiful? What is it that makes Jesus, when we sing songs, you're so beautiful? I don't think we're talking about any attributes that we just see with our physical eyes. I believe that what we are talking about here is his holiness and his righteousness. That's the thing that makes him beautiful to you and I. Now, I'm sure all the stones that are around the throne, the green lapis that forms the floor that you can see through, I mean, all those things are beautiful. But we're to worship him in the beauty of holiness. That's who he is. That's the beautiful part of him. Now, Ephesians 4:23-24 tells us that we're to renew ourselves in the spirit of our mind. Stay there a second. That to me means the attitude that we have in our mind, like school spirit. I've been on a basketball team that when we hit the court, we expected to win. That's just what we thought. That was the attitude, the spirit of which we approached the game. When Cameron plays, she knows she's going to play beautiful because she's developed the talent, she's worked at it, but she also knows that that's the gifting of God that's working in her. And certainly we would agree with that. But so he's telling us, get your mind awake. Don't think any way except of what the Bible says you are. Then verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, and here's these two words again, in righteousness and holiness. That's who you are. The New Living for 24 says, put on your new nature, created to be like God. Can I say it this way? Possessing His very nature in you, which is righteousness and love, truly righteous and holy. So the Lord is having us trained in righteousness so that we can walk out and work out our salvation walking in a manner that is holy and pleasing to Him. And the more we do it, think about that armor, the more beautiful we're going to become to Him. Why is He wanting us to do that? Because we are being made to be the bride, which is free of sin and its impact, which includes sickness and disease. The impact that sin has had on men that we would look at as things not holy. But this says to me that we can walk in this manner, living victoriously, and we can become beautiful just like you're in my groom. This is righteousness at work in us. So let's go to Isaiah 61 and wrap this up. First verse, and this is a familiar one now. This is what Jesus said, and this is what we ought to be saying. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Hey, that is the year of Jubilee that we are living in. Our Jubilee is not a year, it's a person. And then the day of vengeance of our God, who comforts all that mourn. Verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them, say it with me, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called, let me say that differently, that you and I may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. We're not made beautiful so we can have pride in ourselves. We're made beautiful so that He can be glorified. And let me just remind you, we don't turn there, but in a previous week we read Psalm 92 verse 12, which said, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, which was described as tall and beautiful. Now, jump down to verse 9. 9 through 11, and we'll wrap it up. Their descendants, talking about those righteous ones, you and I, shall be known amongst the Gentiles, and their offspring amongst the people. And all who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And look at this phrase, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Verse 11, for the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. This is who we are being prepared to be. Free, free from sin and its impact. A being that is beautiful to the world, that is different, noticeably different. So that what? So that praise may spring forth to the glory of our God. Saints, this is who you are. This is what the force of righteousness will do to you. It will strengthen us on the inside so that as we look at a verse like we did 1 Peter 2:24, knowing we are righteous, letting righteousness work in us, then we can look at the devil and say, no, by his stripes, I were healed. I know that doesn't sound right. But we can look at him, face him, and look at him face to face and say, no, devil. I've been made the righteousness of God. You can't touch me. I've been marked with his blood. Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask you to take the words that you've given this morning. And Holy Spirit, you plant them deep within us as we open our heart to you. Allow us to see the beauty that you've created us to be. Allow us to see how we can walk holy as our Jesus walked. Thank you for this great gift of righteousness that has been sown to us, and we've been made to be that way in our redemption. Father, we just water this and water it to get more fruit produced, fruits of righteousness that will bring glory to you. And it's in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.